This is Brian Cambria with regional news for the Western Slope, Tuesday, October 22nd, 2013. Morning Edition has been reporting about trouble for consumers connecting with health care insurance at the national level. As the Denver Post reports, consumers, insurance brokers, and navigators trained to ease health reforms are venting deep frustration with glitches in the Colorado Exchange and Medicaid signups as well. A few individual insurance buyers said they landed policies and subsidies smoothly in the first 3 weeks of Obamacare reforms, but others, including those responsible for walking the uninitiated through complex portals, said they are stuck with long response times, indecipherable error screens, and intrusive forms. Colorado is one of 14 states that set up their own exchanges. The federal government's severe glitches with the 36 states whose sites it is managing are separate, if similar. As of last week, 226 people had signed up for policies at the exchange Connect for Health Colorado, about one-tenth of what Maryland has reported, to put it in perspective. As an example, the Post reports insurance broker Joe Roth is still awaiting certification from the state for the ability to walk his clients through the insurance offerings on the exchange. His clients are getting letters from their existing insurance companies saying their policies will be canceled and they need new coverage under Obamacare rules, but he can't log into exchange computers or otherwise help them. Colorado Medicaid officials who are signing up lower-income residents under Obamacare's expanded income levels said they are seeing 6 to 9 times the usual volume of applications since October 1st. Medicaid spokeswoman Rachel Ritter said Medicaid's peak system saw about 900 applications a day from October 1st through the 10th, compared with 100 a day before. Many customers are frustrated that they must first fill out a Medicaid application, even though they know they don't qualify and would rather go straight to exchange subsidies. State officials say it's a joint Medicaid exchange application required by the federal government, but acknowledge it's an unwieldy 12 pages on paper. They want U.S. approval to streamline it. The system is meant to give a Medicaid denial immediately so that customers can then buy a subsidized or full-price policy on the exchange, but only some are seeing that. Myrna Ramirez-Castro oversees navigators for Servicios de la Raza and other community agencies in northwest Denver. She reports some of her clients have been waiting for a denial for over 2 weeks and, quote, they're getting very frustrated, she said. Ramirez-Castro said even if a client gets a fast Medicaid answer, Colorado's exchange is still not allowing clients to finish their registration on the website. Instead, they are instructed to use operators at a call center with long wait times. And according to the Denver Post, Denver Health said clients who arrive on a city bus are being told to come back 2 or 3 times for subsequent steps. In addition to damage to roads, bridges, and houses, the recent Front Range floods have caused major damage to water and irrigation systems. Continuing our coverage of the aftermath of the floods, here's KGNU's Maeve Conran.
West. Lyons is over here, right, left-hand creek coming up out of left-hand valley. All right, so these are the neighborhoods right up here. The river was coming through here, through these neighborhoods, through the valley subdivision.
On a recent Saturday morning, Colorado Senator Mark Udall meets with Boulder County water and utilities officials in Longmont. He's briefed on the damage to local water infrastructure by Dale Rademacher, Director of Public Works and Natural Resources for the City of Longmont.
We are working, we've had our kickoff meeting with FEMA. It went fine, and we are in the process of developing our...
So the biggest concern for folks in the St. Vrain and the St. Vrain Valley, including the City of Longmont, is that the river has chosen to take different paths and different routes. Some of that's not too bad. Where it becomes hugely problematic, however, is when it decides to take a route that isn't near a ditch diversion, thereby leaving the ditch unable to divert its water for agriculture or for delivery to the city for treatment to deliver to our citizens. The other big problem is if it takes a route that channels it directly towards neighborhoods in our city, that would then be prone and subject to future flooding when the river comes up again. Those are the really big issues that we've got to get ahead of and get the river back into the channels in those areas so as to be able to divert water and be able to protect citizens, and then to do it in a way that sort of respects nature, in a way that we can build it back better. We can build it back better than it was, and try to get some of those opportunities out of this rebuild effort.
Rademacher says that the goal is to redirect the St. Vrain River back into its natural channel, particularly in the town of Lyons, where the river hopped its banks in several places.
One of the most dramatic ones is the McConnell Bridge on the eastern side of Lyons that we specifically put a request in to get the river back under that bridge. There's also areas on Fifth Avenue or Highway 7 where the river is also breached and come out of the channel that we put in a request to get it back in. So I think through Lyons, it is very much the goal to get it back into its channel through Lyons.
In what seems to be the bitterest of ironies, some Front Range farmers who had their lands inundated by floodwater are now faced with the prospect of not having any water for their full crops. Sean Cronin is the executive director of the St. Vrain and Left Hand Water Conservancy districts.
Yeah, and in Colorado, we're very accustomed to living in the extremes where we either don't have enough water or we have too much. And now we're living in a little bit of a too much spell. And mostly the farmers have fared pretty well, where they didn't have much flooding to their actual fields. So the crops are ready for harvest in most cases. Livestock fared pretty well, so we're okay there. The greatest challenge we have right now is the irrigation infrastructure that grows those crops is either 100% gone or in some point of disrepair. So what we're trying to do is help them get back on their feet so that they could start growing a crop next year. Some of that irrigation needs to take place next month when they start filling the reservoirs, and some of the irrigation is going to start taking place next growing season. And with all of the disaster that's gone on and the materials and labor is going to be very complicated, and we're real concerned about not only this November but also next spring and their ability to get in and do the repairs necessary to grow crops.
Cronin says the Conservancy District and the ditch companies are looking for ways to get the irrigation infrastructure back online before next April brings spring runoff. But time is of the essence, with full crops needing irrigation and winter freezes set to make repairs even more difficult. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Maeve Conran.
Opponents of the proposed tax increase for public school funding, known as Amendment 66, say statements made by Governor Hickenlooper prove the new tax revenue will go to the state's pension system rather than students. The Denver Post reports this latest dispute over the $950 million tax proposal stems from opposition claims that the new tax revenue will go towards unions and the state's Public Employees Retirement Association, or PERA. Supporters, meanwhile, have said that money is a separate issue and won't be used for those purposes. In early October, blogger and Denver Republican Joshua Scharf posted a headline claiming Hickenlooper had admitted that the money could be used for PERA, but Scharf's critics say the exchange was over a 2010 PERA reform and wasn't related to Amendment 66. The executive director of the group, Secure PERA, a coalition of retirees and government employees, said opponents of the tax increase had, quote, read into a comment by our governor to make it say what they wanted. Delta County commissioners held an executive session yesterday to discuss ongoing litigation over the Hostetler henlaying operation on Powell Mesa. As this case has dragged on for 2 years, closed-door sessions with County Attorney Christine Knight have become a hallmark of the commissioners' regular meetings. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
Delta County has now hired the largest legal firm in the state to defend the laying facility near Hotchkiss that houses 15,000 hens. The case is currently before the Colorado Court of Appeals after plaintiffs, claiming that the facility is a health menace to neighbors, won a string of legal victories in district court. 3 days after the operation should have legally ceased, the hens are still laying. And across the road, plaintiff and veterinarian Susan Raymond is pondering her next legal move.
They want to keep operating while the appeal process happens. So we're going to the judge and asking either for an emergency session of the appellate court or ask him again. I just hope we can get it shut down while we're waiting on the appeal.
According to County Attorney Knight, appeals can take a year or more to decide. In June, the county required the Hostetlers to monitor air quality and provide a plan for reducing emissions. County Environmental Health Director Ken Nordstrom was unavailable for comment about whether this had yet occurred. Meantime, Raymond, who has lived in her family home on Powell Mesa since 1964, hates the idea of public money going toward the case against her.
We can't afford schools, we can't afford libraries, we can't afford sidewalks, we can't afford to help the Water Conservancy District. They want to raise taxes for all of these needs that we have in this community. And yet the county commissioners are using taxpaying money to do this. Why?
Knight said she was researching whether the amount paid to the legal firm, Holland and Hart, can be made public, or whether attorney-client privilege protects the information. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
The town of Ridgeway could soon see fiber optic lines installed that would bring high-speed internet into homes and businesses. According to The Watch, the Montrose-based OneTrack Communications Company presented a business plan to the Ridgeway Town Council in early October to use old and unused cable TV infrastructure to install the new lines. The plan would utilize some of the broadband infrastructure brought to Ridgeway last year by the EagleNet Alliance. EagleNet was tasked with building a statewide fiber optic network that could improve the availability of high-speed internet in rural areas and in communities across the Western Slope. As The Watch reports, the EagleNet system has been suspended for some time due to problems with environmental permits, but that suspension was recently lifted, and the fiber optic lines are now ready to be used. OneTrack Communications is currently mapping out the old cable infrastructure and expects to start removing old cable lines and installing new fiber optics soon. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, this is Brian Cambria. Good day.